This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. I am Lee, and that is Todd. Todd, how are you today?
I'm fine. It is rocking hot.
Your staticky afternoon.
That's just my voice. It's not actually the connection.
I really think that if you didn't start talking until minute 20 and that's the first time you spoke, it would still be staticky. Something about when you enter. I don't know why. But then it clears up. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, then that's what I said. Then it clears up.
Hey, did you hear the good news today?
This is
whatever day you're listening to this.
PG-rated podcast? No, I did not. What's the great news, Lee?
They found that O.J. Simpson's wife's killer is dead.
I heard that. I saw that this morning. I thought, someone posted on Facebook, I shouldn't laugh, but I'm laughing, that why did they not take J.K. Rowling instead of O.J. Simpson? Like, oh my God, it's a little harsh. But funny. They did find the alleged killer, the person who said, if I did it, this is the detailed scheme of how I would have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Bye, OJ.
Yeah. Was he in jail? He was in jail, I guess.
I don't think he was in jail at the moment of passing. I mean,
hasn't he been in jail though? I mean, not for even the killing of his allegedly killing of his wife, but I think
he'd been out for quite a while from stealing back his stuff that he had sold. Yeah, that sentence was over, I think. And then he was in jail for illegally selling like satellite TV devices or some kind of bizarre crap.
I haven't heard that.
That's all post unfortunate death that will never be solved of
I'm not a big fan of the person J.K. Rowling, but she didn't kill anybody other than like the Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers or whatever.
It's kind of a little off there.
Yeah, I mean the killing someone is completely different from
little different
views. One has a right to their views, I guess, whether you agree or disagree. And I think we both disagree with what the general idea of what she's trying to say.
But
no one has a right to kill someone else. So that's different. So
a little different. Oh, I love this headline. After trial of the century, O.J. Simpson spent prison time, rest of life in Vegas. After trial of the century, O.J. Simpson spent prison time, rest of life in Las Vegas. It's like, kind of sounds like they're equating prison with Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah. That's what I was like, yeah. I've never been there. I'm sure it's a fine town, but I don't know if it's prison. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. I know people that have gone there, and they're like, yeah, you feel like you're being accosted all the time by people coming up to you in the streets saying, hey, would you like to check out this tour or whatever it happens to be? But I don't think that's jail. I didn't know he lived in Las Vegas. I really didn't care, but I didn't know he lived in Las Vegas. I assume he lived in Los Angeles still.
No, apparently so that he was in jail. It was in Northern Nevada. And I guess he liked the weather. So he just stayed in there. But personally, if I'm in jail for 9 freaking years, I would not want to stay in the state in which I was incarcerated. But
especially when you're not, again, he may have lived there previously, but if you're not from there,
OJ, you do you, bro.
Yeah.
Not anymore though. So
yeah, thankfully. Allegedly. Even though thankfully it's alleged.
Oh, I like this Reuters headline. This is not the whole headline, but just the part that shows up on Google. O.J. Simpson, football star turned celebrity murderer.
He killed celebrities? Maybe we missed that.
Defendant. It cuts off in the Google search after murder, though, which is kind of.
Yeah, somebody had to know that. Somebody was like, yeah, we know how many characters will fit in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they did that. Oh, my Lord. Okay, I guess we shouldn't make fun of
the deed. Mm. Yeah. So, and we're here to talk Seahawks, and then we'll have our Rob Gordons later on, and our Rob Gordons this week, ta-da!
5 people O.J. Simpson allegedly did not kill. Now, probably that would be a few more than 5, but not many. Actually, these would be 5 films that would be improved by the collaboration of Spike Lee as the director and Quentin Tarantino as the producer.
That's right. The honorable mention, of course, would be the O.J. documentary.
Yes, it would.
So I can actually see that. And there'd be, called, unfortunately, if it there'd fits, be.
There you go.
That's right. And like there'd the, even like be less violence if Tarantino were involved.
It would be the right spot.
It'd be less gruesome.
Yes, it would.
So, anyway, the Seahawks. So in 2 weeks from the day we're recording this, which is Thursday, April 11th, is the NFL draft at a few hours. So we'll talk a little bit about the draft, of course, and what the Seahawks will or will not do. But, they had a little bit of random news. It wasn't anything exciting. I mean, they signed the guy who used to be what do you call it? The NFL, like the not NFL Europe thing, but he had a futures contract or something.
Yeah, the international player proving. It's not the player proving ground. It's the international. I have to find it again because it's such a.
And it's Lionel Messi, right? Taking the place of
the international player pathway program. The international player pathway program.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly. Which so far I've been able to find one player. They've had 37 players, at least according to the information I found in my relentless pursuit for the killer of Nicole. a gentleman, and I didn't even bother writing his first name down because I was
Patrick Mahomes. I think it was Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. A defensive tackle by the last name of Malelata. Sorry. Plays with the Eagles, and he's actually played with the Eagles, and he's actually gotten significant playing time and played pretty well. So, that's cool. So 1 out of 37, which really, if you compare that to all the players in college, those are good odds. I'm not saying, but an article will be out sometime this week or maybe even next week because it's not exactly big news. But I just think it's like I'm not even releasing that news if I'm the Seahawks. Like, are we supposed to be excited?
And he's an offensive. He's an offensive lineman, so it's more noteworthy because they have such a glaring weakness on their offensive line. It's like, well, we signed this guy,
and he's a tackle.
Yeah,
he's a practice squad tackle who hasn't gotten a single snap in 3 seasons on practice squads in the NFL.
So he's perfect for the Seahawks offensive line.
They have 3 guards, and 2 of them have over 100 snaps. One of them has 101 snaps. Like, so let's sign a tackle who 3 years in the NFL has done absolutely nothing. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to sign him. It's like you need depth, fine. You need guys in the practice squad, of course you do. But basically, they signed a blocking sled. That's what they did. And that's okay. You need those guys, right?
Well, I have to disagree with that because last time I was downtown Seattle, I was riding the bus because I always take the bus in Seattle. And then there was a bigger guy sitting next to me, and the bus stopped at one of the stops. And John Schneider actually got on the bus and went over to the guy sitting next to me, and he pulled him off the bus and signed him to. And the guy was like, I'm an Eagles fan. I don't even want to. But that's anyway. There you go. So, I mean, that's how, it makes
apparently.
Sense.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's like, don't. I mean, this should be something that would be leaked to the press, if anything. It's like, this isn't news. I'm writing about it because the fact that they so desperately need guards and they signed this guy.
I think
this would give us 8 tackles.
Yeah.
Like, and we need depth of tackle. Can... That's fine. But, dude, you've got 3 guards.
Tom
One
Cable
of them maybe
can play. And you can, all those guys move around. The center goes to tight end. And I George Fant. but he yeah. did tight end to tackle. He actually ended up being pretty good, at least. But I mean, this is just it seems so obvious that they're going to take an offensive lineman, hopefully a guard, not a tackle, or somebody who like Faltanu from Washington, who was a tackle and can play guard in the NFL.
Right.
And that's what the plan is. But of course, this being John Schneider, that means the exact opposite will happen. They'll take a quarterback or something. And then later on in the draft, address guard, and it'll be somebody like Anthony Bradford, who hopefully he'll be fine in second year, but he won't be good in his first year, and which is the key, right? They need somebody immediately that can help.
Right.
I've been shelling this Van Roten article since, what, for 2 weeks now. And I wrote it in a way where I'm like, surely they're going to sign a guard.
Yeah.
And I can kind of transpose, because the theory is the same, right? The Seahawks need help. So I could actually just transpose Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell into the article, and it would still be the same point. I mean, may have to tweak another word or two, but it's basically just like sign one of those guys. And again, people are like, oh, they don't have the money. But as you've pointed out several times,
they got the money. They got the money. All they have to worry about is having the money when the season starts. And there's ways to make that happen, which we've talked about and we've written about. And it's like, they got the money. And there are guards out there still, which you've written about, that could definitely step in and start. I mean, right now, Bradford wasn't really good, but he wasn't horrible. And it was, he's a rookie, so there's every reason to think he'll improve.
Yeah, he was terrible against the in pass blocking. But, right, like you said, he could improve, and with a different offensive line coach, Scott Huff, maybe that'll be enough to help him understand exactly what he needs to do.
But no one's going to miss. I mean, of course, he could have a jump, but probably not. No one looks at him and thinks this is an all-pro or pro bowler. Ankrum definitely isn't.
He definitely is a pro bowler. I agree.
You have one starting guard. And that's the thing. It's like, it's fine to sign depth to tackle, but you've got three starting tackles.
Yeah.
You've got depth at tackle already. You don't even have two starting guards. You know, it's like, Forsyth wasn't great, but I mean, he's a serviceable backup. It's like,
he's a backup who I've heard they could move to guard, which just seems ridiculous. Like, okay, just fix the issue. Stop trying to fit people into squares and the round holes or whatever.
And most of the top guard prospects in the draft, like you said, are tackles right now, but everyone basically sees them moving to guard, and there's some centers that they picture. I really hope they'll draft him, just because then we'd have another hyphenated guy. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. And a law firm, yeah. And they could even trade back and pick him up, probably, because he's not a tackle. He is a true – he's really a center, but he could play guard as well.
Exactly.
I think they have a center in your guy, Olu, but
– yeah, I think they do, too.
He wasn't terrible last year either in limited. It's not, I mean, he graded better in terms of pass protection than Evan Brown did, which isn't really necessarily saying all that much, but at least it's a basis for hope. We'll find.
Exactly. And it's the same as Bradford, but the difference is you only need one center to start. You need two, and they don't have two starting guards.
What if they just go with three guards and no center? Can they just drop the ball on the ground and say Mississippi or whatever? And then
they could try. That'd be a fun first play, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think The Rock will probably come up with that, you know, on his way to not endorsing Biden again for some stupid reason. So, you know what the reason is? He's rich.
That could be it. That tends to happen, doesn't it?
It does.
It tends to happen. It's funny when people start making a lot of money and all of a sudden they become Republican.
Yeah. I want to give.
Remember when Dennis Miller was all this money. Was funny?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Well, that's The Rock. He's like, he's got so many. He's in so many different facets of things, and it's owns so many different things. But it's like he used to be, I want to give, and now it's clearly I want to keep what's mine, which is a shame.
Yeah, it does seem to kind of go that route.
Now it makes me kind of
the opposite of OJ, because OJ moved from a person who kept things and decided to give things like pointed weapons. Anyway,
John Amos, that's who should play OJ. Just popped in my head. But I mean, with the because you know, he looks a little bit the same hairline. No, I mean, I like John Amos.
I like John Amos. He should play Pete Carroll. I think it'd be better.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Very powerful, like motivated that, speaker.
John Travolta film. And Sidney Poitier, I think, was in that, right? You know which one I'm talking about?
Thank God I don't.
Yeah, they had the reverse roles.
Yeah, it was white.
What was it called?
Yeah.
White Man's Guilt or something. Not White Man's Guilt.
Face Off. That's it.
Yeah. No, what was the name of that? If you're listening, call in at blah. It's a podcast. You can't really call in.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. Something, it is something like that.
White Man's Troubadour.
White Man's Burden.
I don't know. The Music White, Man. Was that
White
it?
Man's, yeah, that's it. White Man's Burden.
White Man's Burden. Yeah. With Hugh Jackman. No, that's not true. Don't look that up. So we're jumping all around. That's all my fault too. But what the heck were we talking about? Oh, guards. Because that's been the issue all off season, really, right? I mean, they lost linebackers. We've talked about that. And they brought in two who they hope will be good. I mean, we knew Bobby is going to be Bobby and Brooks is going to be solid. And we hope the new guys are better because of the fit in the scheme.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with receivers. And there's nothing wrong with the quarterback, even though some people like to think that. There's nothing wrong with the running backs.
Right.
Cornerback group could be really good. The safety group could be solid. Edge rusher with Nusu coming back, and he was in voluntary workouts this week that we're recording this anyway, and he was fine. I mean, and the defensive line should be fine. I think Jones is going to be better. I think we both think Jones will be better, and Leonard Williams and Jaren Reed. Yeah. And I think Cam Young could, play a bigger role this year. Your guy Mike Morris might be better, should be better with under McDonald because he coached him in college. Yeah. But it's...
Well, he's healthy, so...
Yeah. But if everything is even like bottom level of what we expect, there's still not going to be any bad groups, except for the offensive line, which looks atrocious, except for the tackles, except for Charles Cross.
Yeah.
And that could be enough to keep the team lose. I don't understand John Schneider's seeming lack of thinking the interior offensive line is important. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And he seems to have backpedaled a little bit on that now, but
after today's breaking news,
still, it's like, he feels they're overvalued, which is basically him saying, I wasn't going to spend that much money on Damian Lewis, and I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, because you can pick up someone of that talent level for less than they would have had to pay Lewis. And I agree. The issue is you haven't done it.
They brought in Bo Nix. Maybe they're thinking Bo Nix is a guard. He's a guard / quarterback.
Maybe. Oh, Lorenzen from Kentucky. He's like, yeah, there's your guard quarterback. Good Lord. That was a large gentleman. It's frustrating. Obviously, if you can't tell, we're frustrated. And
probably, hold on. Eddie Lacy is calling in. Hold on one second. No, I'm just kidding.
probably some people in the building are frustrated that they haven't brought in a guard yet. So, yeah, if they don't.
Well, Mike McDonald should be frustrated. Ryan Grubb should be frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. And
thanks for hiring us, but can we please have what we need to be successful?
And that's what I'm thinking. They're probably the guys that are frustrated. And I'm sure there have been some discussions at some point, at some level of like, we need guards. We got three. One of them's good. Maybe. Probably. That's it. You can't bring in guys who are career backups. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, blah, blah, blah. What about the guy you love so much, Gino? He's a career backup. It's like, it's a little different. When there's one player and you're constantly playing behind guys that are either Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers, because that's the situation that Geno wound up in.
Right.
It's like they're not going to pull Eli Manning to start Geno Smith. They're not going to pull Russell Wilson.
The Giants might.
It's just. But they might. Yeah, maybe. But that's a little different from guards over three, four years. It's like it's not going to happen. I mean, if you're a backup, an Ankrum could turn out to be good. Absolutely. But they don't just need a good player. They need at least one really good guard. And maybe they have one really good guard. But again, two guards. You need more than two guards. And yeah, as Fantkins move over to guard, and he certainly could acquit himself quite well, but they may not have that option because he may wind up starting 6 or 7 games at right tackle.
I think he'll start. Yeah, I think he'll start.
Depends how Lucas is. Yeah, I mean, he could spend all 17 games because we don't know how Lucas is going to be. So Fant is insurance. He's great insurance. And yeah, he can jump from either one, but he may be kind of locked in. So
yeah, I'm just frustrated that they clearly know there's an issue. They've even spoken about how they know there's an issue, and they're bringing in players with for visits like Greg Van Roten. And I think what Cody Whitehair had a visit or something like that. It's like, you know, it used to be that, oh, okay, he's visiting and they're going to sign him. You know, they're not signing any of these guys. Are they offering? I mean, these guys need jobs, clearly, but are they still offering such a low amount of money that they're like, nah, I'm not even going to play for that? You know, it's something is going on. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing is they're talking to guys and they're hardly signing any of these guys. Well, they're not signing any of the guys that are guards, which frustrating. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a rumor that they could be possibly, potentially, maybe interested in Dalvin Cook, not as guard.
I was going to say, Dalvin Cook would have to put on a lot of weight. Yeah, I'm not too excited about that, actually.
Yeah, that was a rumor from the Vikings site.
He seems to be toast, which happens to running backs a lot,
it
right?
Does. It's like, and fast.
Yeah, exactly. They hit the cliff, and they're, what do you have, like 3.2 yard average last year?
Yeah.
And like, the guy's done.
Of course, he played for the Jets part of that.
Sure, you can add a yard to his average right there just because he played for the Jets, but... But, you know, still, he just seems like he's cooked. Not like he's cooking, but is the opposite of the cooking.
Palomalu was his the running backs coach for, not Troy, for the Seahawks. Now was his running backs coach for the first 5 years in Minnesota. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So at least they don't. And he wouldn't be the top two guy. Shouldn't be anyway. But, if Walker or Charbonnet got hurt, at least... Cook could step in, maybe as like an Adrian Peterson kind of, he's not even as old as AP was when he was there, but maybe he could have that kind of effect, possibly. But I don't know. It's an interest. I mean,
not interested at all.
He's certainly not going to cost a lot to sign. He shouldn't.
No, true. But again, somebody would have signed. Not to harp on it and beat the dead horse to death.
No, further. It's Peroni. I'm not drinking harp.
But the money they would spend on Cook, you could have a guard. Amazing. What a concept. Like, why are you talking to a running back? Yeah. Right now, don't talk to any position player that is not a guard because you're wasting your frickin' time.
Well, they brought in Clay
Atkins.
No, Chase Claypool. Yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Why?
I have no, that makes, in? Like, what?
Why don't you make a phone call? Call the Steelers, call the Dolphins. Okay. Well,
but you don't even need a receiver. If it was a great, you don't need a receiver, period. You've got, Bobo's going to be okay. That's four. And then you've got other receivers.
Yeah.
You got that kick returner you just signed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Which some people put him above Bobo on the depth chart and is like, are you stupid? Because apparently you're stupid. Anyway,
Chase Claypool on the above the depth chart.
Might as well. Yeah, but it's like, really, why are you talking to Claypool?
It doesn't make any sense. What I don't understand that. I mean, maybe they're just kicking the tires on him, but they don't need a receiver.
Why? Like you said, why? Yeah, it's like you don't need a receiver. If there's one position above any that you don't need a player, it's receiver.
Which reminds me, I kind of feel, so Tyler Lockett, when he was speaking with reporters yesterday or day before, did you see his comment about like, I want people to stop writing articles.
Yeah, writing articles about trading me.
And I was like, did he say leave Al?
I was going to say, did you feel the heat? Because I think he was looking at you.
He had my picture on his shirt. It was weird. No, And it was like,
there's this one guy, he's written like 6 articles in the past 2 years about trading me. And frankly, Lee Vowell, I want you to stop.
Well, and to be fair, since they did redo his contract, we have written 0 because there's no point. They make us 0 right. sense to trade him. Oh, we didn't ever want him to be traded in the first place.
It's but just it that made he sense is, financially. Yeah, exactly. It made sense financially. And they could get a decent return for him. So that's why you write it. Because he costs a lot of money. You could get something good out of it. Now, unlike if they had traded Jamal Adams, what would you get for Jamal Adams?
Nothing,
which is why they didn't trade him, because no one would.
The difference, obviously, is Laka would be a great player to have, great person to have in the locker room, and then also a receiver, a good receiver, number 2, possibly number 1, if you needed one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still good enough to play. Right. Clearly, he's not going to be in Seattle unless they redo his contract again next offseason.
Right.
But he's not going to be. But I don't want him to get traded. But exactly. It made sense to maybe get something back and cut some salary room. But since they reworked his deal, I mean, they'd lose money on the deal. Anybody writing an article that Tyler Lockett should be traded now, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, same thing with Geno. It's like they would lose money if they moved Geno. And it's like,
Well, technically, they would save $600,000 if they traded him.
Do that. What am I thinking? I don't know what I'm
$600,000 can go a long way towards signing not Chase Claypool, but possibly Primus bassist Les Claypool. Just throwing it out there.
That'd be kind of cool. Interesting. That'd be interesting. Kinda cool. Yeah. Wonder if he could play guard.
Like they're calling out the plays, and all they keep hearing is Winona's big brown beaver, and it's like, what is that? What is that? What is that snap? That's the name of a song.
It'd be interesting. Yeah. You have to.
No,
I know it is.
You're like, sure it is. Yeah.
You might have to clarify that for a few people.
Winona is Winona Ryder. Okay.
Mm.
So, which is true.
Mm.
And I guess she used to have a pet. I don't know. That's as much as I know. That's all true.
Mm.
I'm not making any of that up, except the pet part. Maybe she did. I was skeptical. Skeptical? That's a word, right? It sounds funny, but skeptical.
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 Anyway, so the draft is in 2 weeks. I mean, clearly, my expectation, I think I'm going to have a 4 bold prediction thing just because of that 1 year I was right about LJ Collier. I'm living on that for the rest of my life.
and boy, that turned out to be such a win.
Exactly. he's been possibly one of the best Arizona Cardinals for him.
The curse of Lee Vowell. He gets the pick right, and the guy is trash.
The Cardinals have got Collier. They got DJ Dallas. They got Evan Brown. I feel like they signed another Seahawk.
They loaded up, man.
Then Pete Carroll. It's a joke.
They loaded up with the Hawks.
That's right, Hawks. Well,
Hawks.
And then there's every time you say it, there should be a I don't know what that is. It's not a hawk.
Sounds like a cat.
Something. I know that's when I was doing it. I was like, there's a cat. I can't stop being. They're fierce. They can be fierce.
Yeah, they can be fierce. They have claws. And hurled with sufficient speed at the correct altitude, they can fly. Apparently.
You know, cats can. You know, they can jump from a tall building because they land, they spread out and
they spread their interior wings and land basically softly.
Yeah. Apex predators like an Arizona Cardinal. I mean, just sadly, they could pass Seattle and finish 3rd in the division if Seattle doesn't get any offensive linemen this offseason. But hopefully, they will do that.
So, what's your prediction for the draft? Because I have my prediction for the draft. What's your prediction?
My prediction is they trade completely out of the draft.
We're going all free agents.
Well, I think Snyder's wanted to do that since 2010, and probably Carroll was like, this year should not be the year we do that. Maybe we'll take 3 players, you know, and then there's, so close. Just a couple of years ago, De Eskridge, like, at least Trey Brown was part of that.
Yeah.
Stone Forsythe.
True. That was a hot draft that year. That would be kind of fun if they draft, you know, they trade a few picks and trade for next year and then literally take no picks. Yeah.
We've got 4 first-round draft picks in 2029 out of this draft.
in 2029.
Hopefully everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, in which case there's no one left in the front office.
That's right.
Because there wouldn't be.
I think they will trade back. I think they will trade back, and I think they will draft the law firm.
I think they will. Do you think they will trade out of the first entirely, or late first and a second?
I've thought about that. It sounds ridiculous, but if they trade with the Commanders, obviously, and not get the number three pick, then the Commanders have two higher second round picks. That would do a couple of things. It would allow them to still have fairly high draft picks, and what they need, if they need guards, they can get those guys, good guys, second round.
I've also done that in a couple mock drafts, done that exact thing, traded out and picked up guards.
And another key thing is it saves them money. Because all the draft picks are slotted. So if you draft into the second round, not a first rounder, you're saving quite a bit of money by not doing that. And they are tied against the cap. They shouldn't do it for cap reasons. That would be a fireable offense. Yeah. It should be anyway. But I can see them doing that.
Side effect. Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And they already have the rapport going with the Commanders after trading for Sam Howell. So.
Yeah.
But I think if they trade, that's the only thing I can figure it is if they traded completely out of the first round, it would need to be for something like that. Because you wouldn't want to trade out of the first round and have like a high second round pick and then nothing, or like another second round pick next year. You have to get multiple picks if you're trading back.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit for your trade acumen, because I personally don't know if this Cleveland makes any Spiders. Sense. There you go. Done. Because I've been running my mocks. I've been using Pro Football Focus, not really a plug because it's a subscription thing, but it's just it works well, right? So typically the trade AI is fairly stingy. I mean, you can't really do much. You can force a draft, but what's the point of that, right? So typically, it's like you have to give a balanced trade, right? It's like, because I'll offer something. I think that's a pretty good idea. It's like, no, you're stupid. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I trade with the Vikings, because this has happened in three different mock drafts, the Vikings are more than willing to me, please take the store. So this is a draft. I traded the 16th pick to the Vikings. In exchange, I got the 23rd. And this year's fourth, two fifths, and a fifth for next year. Now, I know fourth and fifths are kind of, but that just seems like they're giving a lot. Because other teams won't do that. They'll say, no, I'm not stupid. And the Vikings are like, oh, we just scored. We moved up
seven places. They've done so many trades already. Don't they have two first round picks, or they have three? I've lost track. They've moved.
Even remember. And frankly, PFF hasn't really kept up that well with the rosters, because there's some players that they still have on the Hawks rosters that aren't there. And some guys
How would you
that
like
are.
Kirk Cousins?
Really. But it's just odd. But that's the only team I've come across so far that is like, sure. Everything else is like, Yeah, I understand that you're letting me move up 10 places, but no, I'm not giving you my first and a second. I'll give you first and a third. Just something like that, which, okay, I can kind of get it, but just really, really strange. So I don't know. Anyway, it just seems like.
Did you put me on the spot? Was I put on the spot? I don't remember the spot question.
No, to me, it's kind of like on the spot is like, did that draft make sense?
Oh, no, that doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't make any sense. Yeah.
No, I mean, I know they're fourth and fifth round picks, but I mean,
they're multiple.
It's five picks to move up seven spots. That just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Unless they're then going to pack, which this could actually happen realistically, is the Vikings, they need a quarterback, obviously. And so clearly they could try to package. I think what they have, number 11 and 23. I think that's what they have.
This one was for the 23.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, right now, like, I think they have the 11th pick and the 23rd pick in the draft. And please call in if I'm wrong. But I think their hope is – somebody needs to look – maybe you could look that up while I'm talking, just because I feel like that's correct. But I think the hope is that they would – for their – on their end, not for Seahawks, we don't care. But I think what their fans would hope was they move – they bundle that 11 and 23 and move up to, like – I don't know, wherever, as close they can to the top. Because the Cardinals, unless they trade back, which they could and should probably because they'd add more picks, they're not taking a quarterback. Yeah. And then, the team after that, who's drafting number 5? It's a team that otherwise doesn't need a quarterback either.
Chargers.
Is it the Chargers? Yeah. So you've got those two teams. So you could move up to number 5 if you – I'm surely they would – if I were the Chargers, you're going to give me number 11 and 23? Sure, I'll do that. Why would I not? You know, it's
exactly.
I mean, I've got needs, but I don't have a quarterback.
And they're talking about that the Chargers are one of the hot topics to like to move back because Harbaugh wants to build a roster. So, yeah, and the Vikings do have, they have Cleveland's pick, which is number 23. So that's why they have 11 and 23.
They're 11. Okay.
And they're an 11.
Sure about the 11 part. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I think that's the hope anyway, is they bundle that, move up to, and grab a quarterback. Seattle doesn't need a quarterback. I mean, even.
Right. Or even maybe it's 16. Picking, depending on how the draft plays out, maybe their quarterback is there at 16 and it's the guy they like. So they would just stick there. They wouldn't even have to move up.
Yeah, so like all the quarterbacks fall. I mean, that's what everybody's, oh, they're going to go. And it's like, oh, no quarterbacks are taken in the first 15 picks. So
I don't think that had happened, but the draft is pretty weird. That's right. I mean, every year something weird's happened. Well, like, I don't remember if you wrote an article about it. I think you did about the large gentleman from Texas, who now may be following.
Tavondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Tavondre Sweat.
The B.Y.
Stuff
happens. So.
Yeah, stuff happens. He wasn't. Somebody, I saw a mock on that, and it was like, I think they should still grab him in the first round. Somebody was like, he wasn't even going in the first round anyway. So you've just upgraded him because he got the DWI.
Right. He's not a first round pick. I mean, what do you.
No, he could be a solid second round. He still could. I mean, his attorney came out and was like, oh, he's a good kid. You know, he's never done anything like that. It's like, I get both sides of it. First of all, we're both liberals, so we're willing to give somebody a second chance, right? If they seem like
depends
they really.
Depends on the circumstances. Depends on the context.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. OJ didn't get a second chance with us. I think we're pretty clear because he did. He got a second chance on his own that he didn't deserve. Maybe that's part of it. But on third and fourth chance, so he didn't serve. Allegedly. With Sweat, it's like, I mean, if he's never done anything and nobody got hurt, right? He just got pulled over and so I think
it's not like somebody died and then he wasn't there and he left the scene and you know things like that happened.
Funny how people forget that when you have a good rookie year. Or the guy for the receiver for the Chiefs, Rice. You know, it's like, he owns both, though. He's leasing both those cars. So really, they're both in his name. And having worked for a former insurance company, I can 100% guarantee you insurance is not paying for any of that because it was, drag racing. So it's like, boom, you're done. Yeah. So, but hopefully he's got enough money. But those cars are expensive and he's not that high paid. He's going to lose money off that. Oh, and he's lucky nobody was killed, just injured.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And otherwise, he should go to jail. Because he should go to jail, not because he's of anything. If it were anybody else, he should go to jail.
Yeah, that's normally what happens. That's what happens to private individuals.
But as far as Sweat goes, I mean, I get his attorney saying, he's never done anything. Well, great. But just because he hasn't done anything, we can't just automatically forget, that's fine. We'll let him. I mean, there's got to be some kind of, and teams are going to look at that, anything, and they're going to.
Of course they are. Yeah, and they should. Drop.
Yeah, he should. Yeah. Plus, I'd rather have Byron Murphy as teammate.
Oh, my God. Well, as almost every draft site has pointed out, it's like you got a guy who weighs, 360, 370, and you got the other guy who played nose tackle instead. Okay. It's like how much of a beast is Murphy that he's, 70 pounds lighter?
Yeah.
And he basically played nose tackle. Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
that guy's a monster.
When in 2 weeks, when we're
not that I was played nose, but when they did, he was it.
I did want to, so for anybody listening from 12th Man Rising, you can check the Slack channel for all the ideas. But I have a feeling, and they're all, I trust, sounds weird, I trust you, and I trust Jake. Like, I know you guys all, boom. But what my fear is that this becomes absolutely chaos for the Seahawks draft. Because that could easily happen. Like, okay, we're 1 and we're 3 and then blah. I mean, it gets a little crazy on day 3, 4 for the team, obviously. For sure. And it'll stay that way. Yeah. But there could be a ton of stuff. Like, a lot of texting going on, being like, okay, I've got it. And Todd, you're up in 2 picks. And Jake, you're up in 4 picks. Yeah. I mean, it could be that kind of craziness. So, yeah.
Well, like we said, and I mean, I have one mock draft because I've run probably about 30 or 40 right now. And I'm 80, just, 80 by the time. And I'm just picking the ones that make the most sense, right? And some that just didn't turn out to be realistic is like, okay, I'm not using that because it's not going to happen kind of stuff.
We only drafted Michigan guys. Huh.
But I literally, I do have one where I think I wound up with 3 Michigan
Bob
guys.
Bob Condota did that, actually. He posted it on Twitter. He's like, this is what it would look like if they just chose the highest Michigan player at the time they were picking.
Well, I mean, I wasn't even trying to do that. It worked out that way. But you could have an all Michigan draft, which would be stupid as hell.
All Stony Brook.
Now that would be stupid. But yeah, I mean, I literally have one draft where they trade more picks than they actually wind up choosing because there's so many that are for 2025. But yeah, there could be so much movement. It could be absolute chaos. So.
Well, they got 7 picks right now. What would we say? 4. Now, five of them are day 3, right? Because they've got 1 on day 1, which is only the first round. They've got 1 on, I got an alert about Geno Smith. I was like, oh, that's just him talking about Coach McDonald is the guy, blah, blah, blah. And then they've got 1 technically right now on day 2, which is in round 3. And then they've got 5 in on day 3.
Right.
But really what's probably going to happen is I'll end up with like 10 picks. If it goes back to old school Schneider, which I hope it does.
Yeah, and I picture it well, too.
I think they'll move back in the first round. They'll add a second rounder and pick. Yeah. Could be, you know, or get those 2 from the Commanders. Maybe they do trade out of the first round. I hope not, because it's different trading out from, like, we have pick 24 and trade out of the first round. It's like, okay, but you're literally trading through half of the first round. It doesn't. Yeah. That's. I'm not sure if Seahawks fans would really buy that and be okay with that.
I think
unless absolutely whatever they get, if they get 2 picks in the second round, they're both like, oh, okay, this makes, okay, we got the guy from Oregon, and then we get Zach Zinter, and I've still seen people hate on him. I'm like, that guy, if he's healthy, he could have been a second round draft pick. I mean, yeah. I'd be happy with those guys. If those are your first 2 picks and you get them both in the second round, that's a win to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I really like that punter from Iowa. Maybe we should move back and let's talk to Michael and see if he gets upset if we add a second punter. So it is a Seahawks draft. Anything
that's true.
So we have exactly 20 seconds left in the show. So our Rob Gordon's are. No, we've got more than 20 seconds. But oh, Thunder. It's Thunder. Thunder rolls here. We got Garth Brooks going on. I really hate country music. So anyway, our Rob Gordon's again are
5 films that would be better if Spike Lee directed and Quentin Tarantino produced.
And so because that was the information that we made up on our own and we still misinterpreted, and both points will be valid, though, I think.
Yeah,
Todd
yeah.
has made up a list of Todd. That's the other guy talking besides me.
That's me.
Yeah.
I made a list of films that Lee and Tarantino have individually done that would be better if they
Spike Lee, not me,
had done. Well, no, I actually went with films that you have done, student films.
You did that black and white film for the Red Cross in the 80s.
Back
that
in your Nikki X days.
Awesome.
So true, yeah, I haven't seen this film. I'm going to go to Fandor. We find out on Fandor and and promote it.
It was played on Channel 15. It used to be that a friend of mine worked for the Red Cross, and he asked me to do it. I don't know how I even had the ability to do it, but I did it. And then we put it all together. I still remember it vividly, but I wanted it to be black and white and just showed faces of people in the East Tennessee community where it helped, like who would be helped by the Red Cross in case of a catastrophe.
And it was everybody, wasn't it?
It was like 30 seconds, and I did the voiceover, and I had to keep reading it over and over because for some reason I wrote it, and it was probably like this. Because I didn't realize.
That you had to speak it?
I didn't realize how much I'd written for a 30-second ad. And I was like, okay. And I took some of that. But yeah, I played on remember Channel 15? It was that, what do they call it? Public access.
Public
channel.
Access, yeah. Public access. Now I have to find it.
Four people saw it.
I'm going to find it. Now seven people have watched it. Anyway, and you did other films not related to either one of them, which I think is actually a more interesting concept. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I didn't create the films. I just have a list of films.
Yeah.
I feel like the Lee thing is going to be confusing on this.
Spike.
We should just say Spike, yeah.
Spike. Spike Lee joint.
Yeah. So I'll go first. So number – and you have an honorable mention, right? But since you came up with the list, yeah. So my list is it's directed. They have nothing to do with Spike Lee and Quentin Tarantino at this point.
Right.
But they would be better if they had been made by these two. And I didn't go like, well, Casablanca would have been so much. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they wouldn't have been alive, and that's cheating. But the one is a movie that hasn't yet to come out, but it will be coming out. And it's Happy Gilmore 2. And because it's actually being worked on. I just feel like there's the violence that was inherent in the first one, especially on the golf course. Tarantino would be able to, like, you know, I know he's not directing it, but he'd be able to kind of work with Spike on, like, hey, here's how we should set this up. And then Spike can do, literally. People are like, oh, he's done like two or three films. It's like, look at it. He's done everything. He literally can do any kind of genre and make it really good.
He can.
And I feel like him working with Adam Sandler would be, both New Yorkers, would be a hoot. And I think Spike Lee would do, sports films. I think he'd do a great job with that.
I think he would.
It'd be all like to be like my commercials. It'd be black and white. But it'd be just Happy Gilmore.
I can totally see that. For my honorable mention, and I have an honorable mention because I didn't feel it was fair to have two of one guy and three of the others. So mine are films that one or the other has directed, but it would be better if Spike directed and Quentin produced on all of these. So my honorable mention was The Hateful Eight, mainly because I needed a third Quentin Tarantino thing. But even with the extended cut that they put on Netflix, which for some odd reason they showed as like four different like mini films in chapters, I just think Spike's direction would have benefited that film. Part of the problem with The Hateful Eight, which will pop up again in another Tarantino film, is sometimes there's too much setup. And
there's a lot of setup.
And Spike would tighten that down. I think that would have improved the film. And
I mean, I get why he's doing all the setup, but you're right. There is a long setup.
Sometimes there's too much. Sometimes it works to perfection, but occasionally, could have chopped that up a bit.
It's a lot of setup in Django, but
yeah. And for me, Django works.
So anyway, number five, that was your honorable mention, right?
That was my honorable mention. So I have number five. Number five for me would be Death Proof, which is fun. I like all these films, but again, I think Spike Lee would have brought a different pace to it, a different mentality, and actually would have been more depth to it.
Rich Rodriguez, though, heavily involved, isn't that?
Rich Rodriguez did the other film for the Grindhouse thing, which I actually think is a better film. Yeah. Anyway.
And what's the one Tarantino did for Four Rooms?
I can't remember which segment he did for Four Rooms.
Was it the one with Tim Roth?
Seems right. That seems right.
Anyway.
Number four
for me is a collection of films, actually. So, and there's 80, so I'll list them all right now. No, I'm joking. I feel like
Berlin, no, Alexander Prince. Can't even say
no offense to Aidan Turner, who is fantastic in Poldark and also Being Human. But I feel like if Spike Lee would have had fun with this and Tarantino would have brought a level of excellence to the violence, the Hobbit films would have been much better. Just because, you know, Spike could have put like a New York feel on it, and it had some hobbits, you know, like from, it'd be badass. It'd be more interesting. Anything would be more interesting, unfortunately. And there's a lot of actors that I like in The Hobbit, but The Hobbit films are like
it would be
Peter Jackson's money grab, right?
Very different take.
We're going to take this small book, which was written decades before the Lord of the Rings series, but we're going to make it like the Lord of the Rings into three films. I think there were only three, right? And it's just like, whatever. Yeah. But I think
thank God.
If you had like an Italian feel to The Hobbits, I don't know. It's like do the right thing.
Anything would be an improvement. Right thing. I don't think they do the right thing.
Aussie
do
Davis
the right thing, Bilbo. Yeah, there you go. Writes itself. Jesus, anything would be an improvement over that. My number four. I love that. My number four, the Summer of Sam, which is a Spike Lee joint, has to do with the tensions during the Summer of Sam.
Oh,
as in,
yeah.
As in the serial killer. During
who's
that summer,
the lead in that?
Blah blah blah. You know, I can't remember who the heck the lead is in Summer of Sam.
I can see his
But I think Tarantino, to me, Summer of Sam kind of needed more of the exposition, and I think it would kind of change the feel of it, and he could bring his. There's excellent dialogue in Spike Lee, but it doesn't match what Tarantino's films have, and I think that Summer of Sam would benefit from that. And again, all these movies are good. It's just, I think Tarantino's involvement would improve it.
It's a Walt Disney film.
Summer of Sam.
It is. I mean, literally, I did not know that.
The Homeward Bound.
Walt Disney I've only had one Peroni, people. Maybe that's why I was talking about Italians and The Hobbit. Leguizamo, Adrian Brody.
No, there you go. Yeah, okay. Which
I think I remember some, because Brody is walking around like there's a lot of collapsed buildings and he plays the piano. Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's totally it.
number three for me is I wanted to go a slightly different way and have them be challenged, but the Lego Star Wars 3 Clone Wars film. I feel like if Spike added a touch, because he's done a little bit of. He can do a little bit of weird stuff in his films. And then, of course, the violence of the Legos. I mean, you got Tarantino just overseeing the whole setup of that. I feel like they could do a lot with the Lego films, but specifically the Star Wars Clone Wars.
Your list is far more entertaining than my list. My number three. Oh my God. My number three, I can hardly even think straight. My number three is Clockers. It sounds much more of a Tarantino film than a Spike Lee film anyway. You know, and it just the setup of the drug deals and blah, 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 and Harvey Keitel and blah, blah, blah. And again, it's a really good film. I'm not saying it isn't. No hate mail, please. But it just feels more like that would be in Tarantino's wheelhouse. And again, it would just be, and it's not, oh, Clockers is garbage. It's like 71% of Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes 74. And that's one of his lesser films. He doesn't make bad films.
He doesn't. Neither
of these guys.
Neither of
bad
them
films.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, we're talking about improvement. So and not, I think as, it, not as good as the Hobbit improvement level, but you know,
This goes without saying, too, and we haven't talked about this, but we're just assuming Samuel L. Jackson is in all of these films.
Of course, well, of course he is.
Okay, so number two for me is, this is a great film, actually, but I feel like with a slightly, it's a great film, but it's almost too intentionally pulling on the heartstrings. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it were
it's a Spielberg movie. Never mind.
Yeah, close to it. It's another Walt Disney film, I think, but it's if it were a little bit more nuanced, and the hockey part of it, it's a miracle if they took Miracle and redid it, but with the violence and the hockey scenes, I just can see, I don't know, like we're talking like end of Django scene with the hockey stuff, like slap shot level. It would change a bit. I mean, it would be less like, oh, I'm crying at the end. Oh, I mean, maybe they even lose to the Russians. You know, I'm just saying they could do something with it.
They lose to the Russians.
But then they lose to the Finns.
But then there's a murder spree. And they get their vengeance that way. Miracle. My number two. And I actually rewatched part of it because it's been a long time since I've seen it, is Jackie Brown. Again, a really good film. This is Tarantino. And,
you know, can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yes, please.
Jackie Brown's a good film, but because of the film it followed, it just...
Yeah, that's part of it.
It was like a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, that's part of it. Because it came out after Pulp Fiction. It was like, that's a rough follow. But this is the poster boy for too much exposition. This film literally could have cut everything from the first 40 minutes and jumped into the film, and you could have spent 5 minutes catching up through the rest of the movie and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because basically that's about when the film actually starts. And if there's just it's not that the exposition isn't interesting and well done. It is, but it's overdone. It doesn't need it. And that's one thing that typically you don't see with Spike Lee films is so much setup. I mean, there's plenty of character development, plenty of setup, but it's not overdrawn. And to me, I think the success of Pulp Fiction just got to Tarantino's into his ego, because he's egotistical, which he's a director. He probably should be, right? I'm not saying a bad thing, but I think he was just so full of himself with the success for Pulp Fiction, rightly so, that he just thought, hell, I can do anything. So he did. And he should.
I think you're thinking of Costner, not Tarantino. But
Dances with Wolves by Spike.
I almost had that on my list.
That'll be good. But Jackie Brown, I think, would have really benefited from that. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, I guess I'd never really thought about it, but I mean, because I don't mind the exposition, but I can see exactly what you're saying. But maybe that's part of what makes Pulp Fiction so good, is there's zero exposition for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
He's
got too many stories to tell to do it. And with Jackie Brown, it's just like he just dwells too long on these things, and Spike would not have, even though Spike wouldn't be producing, wouldn't really have that say. Spike would just drop out of the project. Like, dude, this is how it's got to be. And I think they would have worked it out.
And Jackie Brown is the documentary on the Velvet Underground. Is that right?
No, that's correct.
Number one for me is a musical, because Spike can do those as well. Tarantino hasn't come. He has a fantastic sense of what music to put in scenes, but he's never really done a musical.
There are practically extra characters in this film.
Yeah, that's true. But if they were able to do the redo, the 2012 version of Les Mis, I think that would, you know, again, you'd have the music. I'm laughing, but you know what?
That would really work.
Yeah, and to be honest, when I came up with this list, I wasn't like, oh, this is a ridiculous idea. Like, I literally thought, I can see this happening, and it would probably be an improvement.
Yeah.
Spike, his School Days is fantastic, if anybody hasn't seen it. That's the first film he did, right? First full film, feature film he did.
No, that's correct. She's got to have it. She's got to have it. Was first.
I thought School Days was first. Maybe it was a double bill. She's got to have School Days. I think
like an A B side of the same album.
I tried. School Days was the second one, and then came.
Yeah, Do the Right Thing. Nobody remembers School Days basically because of Do the Right Thing. You know, and it's kind of like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. It's like, I mean, the fans know the movies, right? Yeah. But it's like general movie people's like, oh my God, that's a great film. It's like, and rightly so, but nobody remembers School Days. And She's Got to Have It stands out, the first feature film and the black and white and blah, blah, blah. And then School Days is just kind of there, but it's a great
movie. It's like Heat. It's like, okay, you got De Niro and Kilmer. Who's the third guy? Nobody knows that guy.
That's very true. There's no third guy.
Did Kilmer pass away? Or is he? I know he's sick. He didn't pass away, right?
Ooh, I missed it.
Val Kilmer?
No, he did not pass away.
But he is ill.
He is ill with throat cancer.
Yeah.
Although I think he doesn't. I think he's in remission and he's fine, but he's.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he wasn't even in.
He has to use the artificial thing because he got no vocal cords.
Were you shocked to see ultra conservative Robert De Niro? I can't. Anyway, I was going to say, were you shocked to see him at the White House the other day in the meeting with Japan? But again, couldn't get past the jokingly ultra-conservative. So
I did not see him at the White House. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to that.
Oh, you weren't? I thought I saw you across the room. You're hanging out with Willy Geist? That wasn't
me? That wasn't me. That was some other former Nazi.
I have no idea why Willy Geist just popped in my head, by the way.
McGinnis.
Willie McGinnis was there. It's all the Willies. Nelson.
All the Willies.
Wilson.
But you know, Les Mis would totally work. Getting back to
the topic. I forgot we were talking about movies. Yeah.
But that would totally work. I mean, I can absolutely see that. Like, you know, the Lego thing. That's really funny. And the Hobbits. But that totally would work. And I really, really like the film, but it ties into their sensibility so well.
Yeah.
Seems odd when you first think, like, what? And then they're like, I'll be damned.
Gerard Depardieu is in there somewhere?
Somewhere he's got to be. My number one is the one Spike Lee film that I think doesn't really work that well. And it's a remake, and it's because it doesn't hold up to the original. It's Old Boy.
I haven't seen it, actually.
And I was just going to say, there's a lot of Spike Lee fans who have not seen Old Boy, maybe just because it got generally, well, comparative to the original, bad reviews. And I've seen it twice because the first time I watched it, I thought,
he's not really that old. And then you look at it, he really is.
And I thought, you know, I'll wait a couple of years. And I think I saw it like 5 years later. It's like, I'm going to see if I missed something. It's like, nope, I didn't miss anything. It's just odd that it doesn't work, because it's Josh Brolin, and Josh Brolin was already at the point where this gentleman can act, and a Spike Lee, and it just doesn't work like the original did. And I think Tarantino, again, because Spike, like you said, Spike can do anything, and Spike can do anything, but there's one guy out there who is like a master of the crime genre and kind of the neo-noir, and that's Mr. Tarantino. And I think he could help fix those issues with Old Boy. So that's the one that I really would like to see. The other is like, that'd be kind of cool. But this is the one that really should have happened, other than Les Mis. And that we talked about in pre-pro, The Sound of Music, which would have been fantastic.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, I was like, well, I don't have that, but I have Les Mis, but...
That's so funny, because, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it really would work.
Yeah,
it really would work.
Yeah, it should. I think Tarantino lives in Israel right now, so we can send him an email, and then maybe we can go knock on Spike's door. I'm sure he's
home.
He's home. He's not the kind of guy who would ever leave for Los Angeles, right? Like, he's New Yorker through and through. Like De Niro, I'm sure they would never leave New York. Scorsese.
They're gonna have to film Les Mis in like Brooklyn,
the Bronx.
That's right. Film in the Bronx. The Bronx is all upscale now. Can't film in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Maybe they like call Brooklyn. Ted. Ask Ted if they can use his house.
That's right. Staten Island.
Time for another remodel, Ted. We're gonna flood the basement again, Ted.
Oh, well, I hope he's okay from the earthquake. That's all I know. So
yeah, kind of bizarre.
Anyway, that's our show. Thanks for listening. And we'll be so next week we'll have another episode, and then we'll have one almost immediately thereafter, the beginning of the next week when it's time for the draft. So I'm sure we'll talk even more wonderfully, eloquently about the NFL draft. Thanks for listening.
Why are you the worst? When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.